Reading in verse number 7, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. The Bible says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the privilege, the opportunity that we have to be here in church today. I thank you for each one that's come. And Lord, I pray that you would please help me now to say exactly what you want said. And Lord, I do pray that you would please clear our minds and our hearts of all distraction. Lord, we have so much going on in our lives. We're so busy and we're constantly going through trials and tribulations, just dealing with life. It's real easy for our minds to be overrun. And it's easy, Lord, for us to get sidetracked in our thinking. I pray for a few minutes here this morning that we could clear all of that out and we'd be able to focus on the Word of God. Lord, help us to be alert, to be attentive. And God, I pray that we would have ears to hear, hearts to receive what you have for us. And I pray, Lord, that whatever decision we might need to make, we would make it before we leave. Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict them and show them their lost condition and show them that Jesus Christ is their only hope of heaven. And I pray that before they leave, they would trust Christ as their Savior. For those of us that are already saved, I pray that you would help us to get from this message what we need. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, for giving us the privilege to know you and to serve you. Thank you for this church and the people here. Lord, again, I ask for your help, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'm going to preach a message titled, "Exercise Thyself." Exercise Thyself. And in getting started, I want to say in the verses we just read, Paul talks to Timothy, his own son in the faith, about two types of exercise. He talks to Timothy about exercise that profits the body and also about exercise that produces godliness. And these are the two things that I'm going to deal with, that I'm going to focus on in the message today. And I want us to get started by looking first at what Paul says about exercise that profits the body. First of all, look here with me at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. And notice again what Paul says. He says, "For bodily exercise." And when he says bodily exercise, obviously he's talking about exercise done by and for our earthly body. There are all sorts of examples of bodily exercise. There's walking. I enjoy walking myself. That's something that I try to do consistently. Sometimes I slip up and don't do it as much as I need to, but walking is something that I enjoy doing. There's also jogging. On the way to church this morning, we passed a man who was jogging along the side of the road. There's lifting weights, riding bikes. I know that's something Brother Randy enjoys doing. There's swimming. There's doing sit-ups, push-ups, pull-ups, jumping ropes, squats, and then there's just good old-fashioned hard labor that exercises the body. But there's all types of bodily exercise, and truthfully, there are a lot of different reasons why some people do bodily exercise. For instance, some people do it because they want to be attractive. They want to have that eye appeal. They want people to admire and in some cases even lust after their physical body. Amen? That's what drives some people. That's the motivator. What carries them down to the gym is just wanting to be attractive. For some, it's because they want to be a superior athlete. They're involved in some type of sport and they want to reach the pinnacle of that sport and be the very best athlete that they can possibly be. So they train and they exercise and they push their body in order to be the very best athlete they can. Then some people do it simply because they want to be healthy. That's their motivation. They want to have good health. So there's all types of bodily exercise. And there's a lot of different reasons why people exercise, but I want you to look here once again and notice what Paul says in verse number 8. He says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." He says, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." He does not say it profits nothing. Amen. He doesn't say bodily exercise profits nothing because it does profit. Bodily exercise profits the body. It makes the body, this earthly tabernacle, more healthy. It helps us to lose weight. In some cases, it helps us to keep off weight or even put on weight. It strengthens muscles. It increases stamina. It helps to lower blood pressure and cholesterol. I like what I heard a fella say the other day about cholesterol. He was an older guy, and he was talking about how years ago they didn't have cholesterol, and he said if we did, we'd have fried it. That's about right down here in the South. But bodily exercise helps you to keep these things in check, to lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol, to help you with your diabetes and so forth. So it serves a purpose. It does profit our body, and since as believers our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, I do believe it is important how we treat our bodies. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Lord said that those who defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, God will destroy. That's what the Word of God says in the book of 1 Corinthians. So it is important how we treat our bodies. And Paul says here, bodily exercise profiteth little. But now let me hasten on to point out very carefully what he says. He says, bodily exercise profiteth little. He doesn't say bodily exercise profits nothing, and he doesn't say bodily exercise profiteth a little, does he? He doesn't say a little. He says, bodily exercise profiteth little. What does that mean? When he says bodily exercise profiteth little, what he means is that bodily exercise does not profit very much. That's what he means. Why would he say that? Well, the reason is because it only helps the body. Bodily exercise only helps the body, a body described in the Word of God as vile, corruptible, and mortal. A body that one day, irregardless of our efforts, will cease to exist. It will be done away with at some point. You understand this morning, it does not matter how health conscious you are. No matter how much you adjust your diet and how often you exercise, whatever it is you do to help your body, you still need to understand there's coming a day when your body will no longer exist. As hard as we try, and some people, they spend days and nights and millions of dollars trying to preserve this body right here. And again, I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of your body. I believe you should as much as possible. But folks, at the end of the day, you know what's going to happen to this thing right here? At some point, either this body is going to die and go back to the ground from which it was formed, or it's going to be changed at the rapture of the church. But in either case, this body right here is going to be done away with. And bodily exercise only profits this thing right here. here. So it really, in the grand scheme of things, does not profit very much. Bodily exercise is time spent, effort spent, money spent on something that is not going to last but a brief amount of time. Even if you live in this earthly tabernacle for 90 or 100 years compared to eternity, that's not very long, my friend. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We've got just a few short, brief years down here, and then this life is over, and this life is over forever. This life right here. So bodily exercise, when you get to thinking about it, as Paul says, profiteth little. It doesn't profit very much. And again, I'm not trying to discourage you from doing exercise. If you have the time and you can, praise God, do it. I think that's a good thing. But just keep in mind, all along as you're doing that exercise, that it's just a matter of time before your body, as healthy as it might be. I mean, you may get it to the point where it is some kind of a spectacle. You may be cut and just have a six-pack, as he liked to say. I've always wondered why people would want to settle for a six-pack when they could have a keg. Amen? Never understood that one. What I'm saying, you can get your body in the best shape that you can possibly get it in, but it's still going to be done away with. You're either going to die or you're going to get a new one when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. You need to keep that in mind as you concentrate on this bodily exercise. And since all of this is the case, Paul talks to Timothy about a second type of exercise in this passage. Another exercise that is far more important, far more valuable than any bodily exercise you might do. And I want us to look at this in the remainder of our time today. He talked to him there, first of all, about this exercise that profits the body. And he said, hey, that bodily exercise, it just profits very little, not very much at all. But look at what he says in verse number 7. Paul says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. And that right there is a completely other message. There's a lot that could be said about those profane and old wives' fables. I've been listening to those old wives' fables my entire life. Hear that kind of stuff. And people try to pass it off as the truth. And it's not the truth. It's just a fable. It's something that somebody came up with years ago, and they passed it down from one generation to the next. And now some people believe it to be the gospel. They believe because their grandfather and their great-grandfather and their great-great-grandfather and their great-great-great-grandfather and all the way back as far as they can go said that this is the way it is, this is how the weather's going to be, or this is how the plants are going to grow and all that kind of stuff. This is the way it is. A lot of that stuff's just an old wives' fable. There's not truth to a lot of that stuff. But look here what he says. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, what is godliness? Well, godliness by definition is God-likeness. It's being like God. It's being as much like the Lord as you can possibly be. That's what godliness is all about. And I believe that our desire as Christians, would you agree with me this morning? Our desire as Christians, our goal, our purpose, our vision should be to be as much like the Lord as we possibly can. Would you agree with that? I think that should be the motivation that I have in my life. The drive that I have, the purpose that I have is to be like Him. Just like people have different motivations for doing bodily exercise. They have whatever reason it is that drives them and moves them, and they have a purpose they want to accomplish. I ought to be driven every day with a strong desire to be as much like the Lord as I can possibly be. And I'm not talking about in just a single area of my life. I'm talking about in every single area of my life. Every area. from head to toe, in my mind, in my words, in my actions, in every facet, body, soul, and spirit, I should want to be as much like the Lord as I can possibly be. That should be your desire if you say this morning that you're saved. If you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a born-again child of God, your desire every single day of your life, not just every now and then, but every single day of your life, what should drive you is the desire to be as much like God as you can possibly be. Not trying to be like the world. It sickens me sometimes. It just sickens me to see how some Christians live their life. It's very obvious that they have no desire to be like God. It's very obvious that that is the least of their concern. You can tell it in the way they dress. You can tell it in the way they talk. You can tell it in the companions they have, the places they go, the way they conduct themselves. You can tell that their desire is to be like the world. They want to be as much like the world. They're conforming to the image of this world. That's what drives them. They like that popularity in the eyes of the world. They want to be cool and in and have all the things that the world offers. And that's very obvious by the way they live. Now, I'm going to tell you, at the risk of hurting your feelings, if you say you're a child of God and that's what you desire, then you need to get on the altar this morning and get your heart right with God. Because as a Christian, your desire should not be to be like the world. Your desire should be to be like the Lord, to be godly. Let me give you just a few scriptures here to think about. We won't turn to them for the sake of time, but in the book of Titus, when Paul is writing Titus, he says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. I am to deny anything that is ungodly," right? You know what the Bible says? If it's a program on television and it's ungodly, I ought to deny that. I either ought to change the channel or turn it off. Amen? Y'all don't get quiet on me. I'll kick your God around a little bit. Some people's God's that one-eyed monster they sit and spend hours watching every day. Lay out of church to watch programs on TV, and some of the junk they're watching while they should be in church is a bunch of ungodly mess. Amen, Brother Keith. Denying ungodliness. If it's a program, if it's music, if it's a way of life, whatever it is, if it's ungodly, the Bible says I am to deny that. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And then it goes on to say this. That we are to live. How am I supposed to live as a Christian? How am I supposed to live? Here it is. Live soberly, righteously, and listen to me, and godly in this present world. It's not just, we talk about how when the Lord comes back, he's going to change us and we're going to be like him. That's what the Bible says, right? When we shall see him, we shall be like him. We're going to be changed to be just like him. But you know what we need to be doing while we're in this life? We need to be practicing for that day. I am going to be conformed to his image. I'm going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ one day in every facet of my being. But I need to get some practice in this life down here. While I'm here in this life, I need to be as godly as I possibly can. Not worldly, but godly. Here's another passage of scripture in the book of Peter. It says, "Ye see what manner of persons we ought to be." He's going to tell us what manner of persons we ought to be. "In all holy conversation and godliness," he says. Let me show you one real quick. We're here in 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. It'll take me just a second for you to look there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. The Bible says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." There's some things you need to get away from. Run away from them just as quickly as you possibly can. Flee these things. Then he says, "And follow after righteousness." Look at the next one. "Godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." I'm going to try to be as much like God as I possibly can. In fact, I want to say this to you. Our desire to be godly, to be godlike, should far exceed, not be on the same level, not be less, not be just a little bit above, but our desire to be godly should far exceed any desire we have to be fit in our earthly body. Now again, I'm not saying to mistreat your earthly body. I'm not saying that. But I tell you what I wish. I wish we could get some saved people as interested in being like God as they are as being healthy in their body. There's nothing wrong with you trying to be healthy, nothing wrong with you trying to take care of yourself and being fit in your body. But there is something wrong with you spending more time and having more of a drive to get in good physical shape than you do trying to be like God. There's a problem with that. And that's where a lot of people are at. And again, it's because they don't care about being godly. They're concerned about being worldly. They're too concerned with this life down here. When the Bible says we're to set our affections on things above. But people, a lot of Christians I'm talking about, are in love with this world, and their whole mindset is about this life and what's going on in this world. And they focus on being fit and healthy and looking good and being an athlete and being popular and all that stuff. And they ignore what is the most important, and that's being like the Lord. Wouldn't it be a blessing if people would spend as much time doing something that would help them be godly as they do time doing something that will help them be healthy? Amen. Why should I want to be godly? Well, first of all, because it pleases my Father. And in case we forget, that's why I'm here. When I say why I'm here, I don't mean here in this church. I mean here on this earth. The reason why you're here, the reason why I'm here is not to promote me, but to be pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And when I'm godly, when I act like God, when I act like my Father, it pleases Him. And that is why I should want to be like God, because it pleases my Father. And another reason is because, as Paul says right here, it is profitable. Look at verse number 8 again. For bodily exercise profiteth little, not very much. But godliness, he says, is profitable unto all things. Why? Having promise of the life that now is. That's right now. That's where we are. Every one of us in this building here today are in the life that now is. That's where we are. But you know where we headed? He says, and having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come, that's where we're headed. Every one of us. We're here now, we're in this life, but we're headed to the life to come. Now, those of us that are saved in the life to come, we're going to be with the Lord, amen? We're going to be absent from the body, thank God. Isn't it a blessing to know we're not going to have to live in this thing for all eternity? That's a blessing. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, that's the life to come. In the life to come, that's where we're going to be as Christians. But what Paul says right here is that godliness has promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know what that means? That means that godliness pays off in this life and the next. Bodily exercise. Y'all still with me? Bodily exercise only profits you in this life right here. It's not going to help you in the one to come. It profits you in this life. But godliness profits you right now and in the life to come. I can tell you this. If you choose to live a godly life, if you choose to do that, the rewards and the benefits of that will be seen right here in this life and in the one to come. It's going to pay off in both. What a lot of people are doing is they're concentrating on this. And I can tell you what's going to happen, folks. Y'all listening to me? Because a lot of Christians are focused only on this life and all that has to do with this life and acquiring so much stuff, and a lot of them are getting a whole lot of things. When they get to the next life, they're not going to have anything. Bodily exercise, it'll help you. Other things you do that have to do with this life, they'll help you and they'll profit you right now. What about in the world to come? That's where we better get our mind this morning. Because I'm telling you, you're headed there. You're not going to live on this earth forever. You are headed to the life to come, and that life, where this one lasts for just a short amount of time, the life to come lasts for all eternity. And what you have, are y'all with me? What you have in the life to come depends on what you do in the life that now is. If you spend your life that now is worried about bodily exercise and all the other things that you can gain and get your hands on in this life, then in the next life, the life to come, you're not going to have anything. Many Christians are forfeiting eternity for a few brief years down here on this earth. They're giving up having treasures in heaven that will last forever and forever and ever for a few treasures they can get on this earth now in this life. Where's your focus at this morning? What matters more to you? Let me ask you something. What good does it do to have all the wealth of the world and everything that you can possibly acquire down here for? Just say you're blessed enough to become a millionaire or a billionaire or whatever by the time you're 25 or 30 years old and you live to be 75, 80, 90 years old. What good does it do to have all that wealth and all the stuff that comes along with that for those few short years and have nothing for all eternity? What good does it do? It doesn't do any good at all. People are living for this life. You better start thinking about the one to come, because that's where you headed, and that will last a heap sight longer than the one you in right now. And what Paul says here is something we need to believe. Look at what he says in verse 9. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What I'm saying here, Paul says, what I'm saying here is something you can count on. It's a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of my full acceptance. There's no reason for me to doubt anything that Paul has just said. I need to believe that, accept that, understand, as he says, that bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So what does he tell Timothy? Look back at verse 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You know what he's saying when he says exercise thyself rather unto godliness? He's saying you, Timothy, need to do activity. That's what exercise is. It's some kind of activity. Do some kind of activity that will result in godliness. That's what he's saying. That's where the majority of our time needs to be spent. Okay, if you want to do physical exercise, praise God, do it. But make sure that you spend as much and even more, much more time exercising yourself unto godliness. Let that be where your main focus is. Doing activities every single day that will result in being like God. That's what he's telling. What are some things that we could do, by the way? What kind of activities could I possibly be involved in as a Christian that would help me be like the Lord, be more like Him? What are some things? You think prayer would help? I think some of us need to start doing some knee exercises. You know what I mean? Bending down on that knee and spending some time in prayer. Some knee exercises, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting, lifting up some hands in prayer to God as we talk to Him. I believe prayer is vital. It's absolutely vital. It's essential for any Christian becoming more like God. Time in the Bible, obviously, is very important. It's critical. Spending time in the Scripture, going to church, being in a good church where you get taught the Word of God, that is something you can do that will help you to be more like God. People sometimes so undervalue church. It is critical. It's absolutely important that you be in church and be in church faithfully. Separation from things in this world that are ungodly is something that will help you to achieve godliness in your life. Fellowshipping with other Christians. There's all sorts of things that we can do that will result in godliness, and that's where we need to focus our time more than on other things. I got just a couple of things here I want to say, and I'm going to be done. How many of you would agree that exercise to achieve its goal must be consistent? Right? I mean, I can't get up tomorrow and go walk 2 miles and think that's going to do me for the next 50 years. You know what I'm saying? I wish it was like that. Well, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? I'm serious. I wish I could walk 2 miles tomorrow and be fit and trim the rest of my life. I wish I could get up tomorrow and eat breakfast and not have to eat again for 30 years. I mean, really, it would be great if that's how it worked, but that's not how it is. If I'm going to get in shape and get my body fit, then I got to be consistent in my exercise. I got to do it regularly. Maybe not every single day, but on a regular, consistent basis, I've got to make sure that I stick with it. And if and when I slip along the way and I miss 3 or 4 days or maybe a week or, in my case, 2 or 3 months, whatever the case, you know what you got to do? You got to get back at it. Somewhere along the line, you got to realize, man, I've gotten out of my exercise routine. I've slipped here. I've fell off the wagon, so to speak. I got to get back on it. Listen, for you to achieve godliness in your life, you must be consistent in doing things that result in godliness. Let me tell you what a lot of people do. Talking about spending time in their Bible. You cannot overestimate the value of spending time in the Word of God when it comes to helping you grow spiritually. But here's what a lot of people do. A lot of people get up and come to church on Sunday morning, they bring their Bible and they listen to a Sunday school lesson for 30 minutes, and then they listen to a sermon for 30 minutes, and they go home and they put their Bible down and they don't crack it open for the next week until they come back to church. Folks, it'd be nice, I guess, if you could just get that amount of Bible time in and that be all you need. That's not how it works. You cannot get in an hour on Sunday morning all that you need to help you grow into godliness. It cannot be done. You've got to be consistent with it. You've got to stay with it. Get in prayer consistently. Make time every day to talk with the Lord. Spend time in the Bible. Be faithful to church. Spend time with other Christians and on you've got to be consistent with it. And if and when the time comes that you slip up and you're not as consistent in some of those things as you need to be, and hey, why don't we all be honest this morning and not be super pious and self-righteous? And admit that we're not as consistent sometimes as we need to be in the things of God. Okay, well, here's what you don't do when that happens. You don't just quit. I mean, some people, they say, well, I'm going to start exercising. And they go along there for a week and they're exercising good. And then the next week something happens and they miss 3 or 4 days. And they say, well, I tried. Throw it out and they're done. They don't do it anymore. And some Christians, they'll get in church and they'll get in their Bible and they'll get in prayer and they'll go along there and they're doing pretty good, being fairly consistent with the Lord. And then something will happen, they'll slip up. And there'll be some days go by where they don't spend time with the Lord like they need to, or maybe they're not faithful to church like they need to. And you know what some of them do? Well, I tried. No. When you mess up and you slip up, you know what you do? You ask the Lord to forgive you and you start doing those things again. That's what you do. You be consistent. And then I'm going to say this. Exercise isn't always easy. In fact, if it's real exercise, it's never easy. It requires sacrifice. It requires effort. Sometimes it's extremely painful. Extremely painful. You ever gone for a while without exercising and then exercise and get up the next day? Man, they don't make enough being gay when it's like that. Your muscles are sore, you're stiff. It's not always easy to exercise. But Would you agree with me that the more you do it, the easier it becomes? And the better you feel? And the more results you see? Isn't that how it is? I'm not standing here this morning pumping you full of sunshine, telling you that trying to be like God is going to always be easy. Because it ain't. There's going to be some times when it is very painful and difficult. It's certainly going to require sacrifice for you. It's not going to be easy, but man, the more you do these things that result in godliness, the easier they'll become along the way, and more results you'll begin to see. And the more results you see, the more inspired you're going to be to continue on doing those things. I think about, but in the past, when I've been on a diet and started exercising, there'll be some days go by there and it just seems like there's no results. You don't see anything. And you know what? That's discouraging. You think, what am I doing this for? I'm starving myself to death. I'm walking, I'm running, whatever it is, and nothing's happening. I'm not getting any stronger, any healthier, any better shape. But if you stay with it, guess what happens? One day you step on them scales and you've lost a little bit of weight. And you start feeling better. You got more energy. You just feel more healthy. And you know what that does? That helps you keep on going. Keep being consistent. Folks, you got to stay with these things. Godliness is not an overnight thing. It's not a quick fix. It requires some sacrifice, some time, some energy, some effort. But I promise you, you're going to like the results you see if you'll be faithful. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for letting us be here. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God. And I pray you would help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.